Blog Talk Radio.
In hopes and sorrow all through his days, I am a man of foreign diamonds. I see courtrooms all my days. I bid farewell tomorrow I go, for I can get no more delays. No, he can get no more delays. For six long years I've been delaying. You know I never testified. And in Fulton County I was arrested. I'm just like Jesus crucified. He's just like Jesus crucified. They took me in and down in the courtroom. I went before that magistrate. I wrote 6'3" down on that paper, and 215, that was my weight. You know he's out of his way. When they took my mugshot, I stood and grumbled. I've got too much testosterone, and I'm glad that I had some co-defendants. Under the bus, they will be thrown. Under the bus, each fare thee well, my old true beggar. On tender meadows where I lay, you know how I relied on my advisors until they fled and walked away. Until they fled and walked away.
Hello, America. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123, the radio show. We thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Picker from Michigan, and I hope everyone is doing well.
Yes, today is day. It's Sunday, September 10th, 2023. It's Season 5, Episode 31. The topic is Play Stupid Games, Win Stupid Prizes. And it must be stressful if you want to be the craziest person in a room full of MAGA psychopaths during a meeting. Super stiff competition, Olympic-style standard craziness. This is what the Republican Party has turned into. One sick joke and cruelty is being their main goal. Everything from Hunter Biden's laptop to Donald Trump's gaslighting and everything in between, the ordinary man who commits crimes against the United States of America does not have the right nor any say on where their cases should be held. Is there double standards in the court system? If Trump and his co-conspirators are so innocent, why are they so afraid to go on trial? It doesn't matter which court is the first to convict and imprison him. It just needs to happen as soon as possible. America's exhausted of the MAGA GOP shit show as they toy with our democracy. Don DeCon is scared of Fannie Willis, but justice will be served. We all long for the day when Republicans stop manufacturing crisis. America deserves a break. While Democrats work with Biden administration to move America forward, Republicans continue playing stupid games. Nobody's here for it. The day all these criminals are locked up will be a great day in American history. And it will be televised. So grab your snacks and beverages as we are witnessing history unfold, the end can't come soon enough. Thank you for joining the broadcast. Call in and tell us what's on your mind. The number to call in is 515-605-9802. We love hearing from everybody, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, Independent, Socialist, Communist, Green Party, whoever. Say your first name and where you're calling from. But please, when you do call in, could you turn off all background noises and be respectful while on air with other speakers and as guests. Visit our website at kitchenpolitics123.com. Laura has a new blog article up. And so we proudly represent everything right-wing nut jobs hate in America. This is Kitchen Politics 123, the radio show. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. So, Laurie, I've noticed that two lawmakers in New Mexico, where I live, has called for an impeachment of Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham after public health order. She suspended open carry for 30 days in the state because, I don't know if America knows this, but a four-year-old girl was lying, sleeping in her bed, and, you know, she got shot and killed. I guess it was a drive-by. And an 11-year-old girl was also shot, and kids are being killed left, right, and center. And instead of Republicans trying to work with the governor, the Democratic governor of New Mexico, are saying an infringement of their Second Amendment rights, and, you know, she violated the U.S. Constitution by then carrying open carry and having a gun, you know? So instead of going after criminals who commit crimes with gun violence, they're saying she goes after law-abiding citizens who use them to protect themselves from criminals. What's your take on that? I think it's ridiculous for Republicans.
I find it disgusting. You know, a boy was on his way home from a minor league baseball game last week. The four-year-old girl, as you said, was in her bed. And then a 13-year-old girl in Tawas County was shot and killed in August. So the only thing that the governor is trying to do is to kind of bring things, a 30-day cooling off period is the way I read it. I mean, what is wrong with that? It's only days. And, of course, because, you know, these gun lobbyists and these gun nuts can't even stand the fact of, you know, not having guns in their arms for 30 days. They're threatening to impeach her. And the only thing she's trying to do is to make New Mexico a safer place, Albuquerque a safer place to live, just like, you know, all of us try to do, make this place our country a safer place to live, but these Republicans don't want to hear it.
Yeah. You know, and Republicans and these right-wingers claim that they're pro-life, but, you know, when you come down to it, how can you be pro-life when you're pro-death penalty and you're pro-gun? Gun without responsibility is like death. And all Democrats and Michelle Lujan Grisham is asking is that you be more responsible, have red flag laws, have background checks, you know, go safety training. You know, you have to be certified to own a gun. But no, you know, they just want to have gun under all circumstances without no training, you know, and because it's in the Constitution, the Second Amendment. You know, so we're going to play a clip here. It's a 3-minute clip about what's happening in New Mexico. And I want people to listen because we have calls lined up already. And we have a big, full show tonight. And I hope people listen, call and share, and enjoy themselves tonight. If you're a first-time listener, welcome. So here's Michelle Lujan Grisham and what's happening in New Mexico.
It's a move by the governor that has made national headlines. A 30-day ban on carrying firearms in any public spaces across Bernalillo County to curb gun violence. Since the announcement yesterday, it's drawn major criticism from across the country. News 13's Gabe Chavez joins us with continued coverage tonight. Gabe?
Alexa, two New Mexico lawmakers have now called for the impeachment of Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham following her public health order she announced yesterday at the Roundhouse. State Reps Stephanie Lord and John Block are now calling for her impeachment because they say this order is an infringement on New Mexicans' Second Amendment rights.
We made an oath, which is a promise that we swear that we're going to uphold the Constitution, the rights of New Mexicans, and she threw that right out the window.
Anger, frustration, and shocked. That's how some state leaders are feeling today after the governor's public health order went into effect yesterday afternoon.
I was completely shocked and taken by surprise that she would do such a gross overreach and completely violate the Constitution.
Our governor, she called for open season on law-abiding citizens by subverting the state and federal constitutions and laws of our state, and that's something that needs to be remedied immediately.
The governor's public health order bans open and concealed firearms in public spaces throughout Albuquerque and Bernalillo County for 30 days. This order does not impact law enforcement or licensed security officers and does not impact those who carry a gun on private property. Representatives Lord and Block both say even those on the other side of the political aisle are shocked and angered by this.
I ran into someone who is on the other side of the aisle of me on some issues. There's a lot that we do agree on, but there's this one I was surprised. He came up to me, Democrat, lives in the area, said, I am so angry at the governor.
This public health order has also sparked three lawsuits, one threatened by State Senate Republican Minority Leader Greg Baca and one planned by House Republicans. Another filed today on behalf of the National Association for Gun Rights in U.S. federal court.
It's simply that a state actor, a government actor, whether it's the governor, whether it's somebody in our legislature, does not have the authority to impinge on your rights given under the United States Constitution.
Albuquerque attorney Tim White says they are seeking a temporary restraining order to prevent the enforcement of the governor's public health order. He says it's expected to be reviewed by the court early next week. The governor's office responded today in a statement saying they are, quote, prepared to fight challenges to her decision and recognize not everyone supports the public health order. Back to you.
Yes, so 30 days, the flipping out and losing a shit over 30 days. There's a gun problem all over the country. New Mexico is right next to Mexico. They're bringing over fentanyl and what have you. Okay, the governor's doing her best to control that situation across the border where drug cartels in Mexico keep coming over and trying to sell fentanyl. The police, the state police made some busts a couple months back with thousands of fentanyl pills. You know, so she's doing her best and she's doing good as governor and everything. And, you know, it just amazes me and boggles the mind that just 30 days she put this this public health order in, and they're losing their minds. What's wrong with these right-wing nut jobs?
Well, the pro-lifers, you mean? They don't care that three children were killed in just a few days. I mean, honestly and truly, these pro-lifers, these people that say, you know, that you can't have an abortion, really. And the other thing is the only thing that this public announcement was, it was the use, the power of a public health order, state emergency, to access different levels, different resources, and different opportunities to keep New Mexicans safe. The order calls for monthly inspections of firearms dealers statewide to ensure compliance with gun laws, and for the state health department to compile a report on gunshot victims at hospitals that include age, race, gender, ethnicity, along with the brand and caliber of the firearm involved, according to the Santa Fe, New Mexico. The governor has acknowledged that violation of the public health order is the lowest level of violation. The point is this. We better have the debate about what's necessary to reduce the number of particularly illegal firearms and our ability to go after bad actors, she said. And they are losing their shit, like you said, David, for this 30 days? She's not banning guns. She's just saying you can't carry a gun in public. That's what they're saying.
Exactly.
For 30 days. That's it. So have a heart attack over there.
Yeah. Right? It's not even in the Second Amendment where, you know, you can open carry. It depends on the state. Just saying you have a right to bear arms. And she, as governor, have the right to say, hey, you know, for 30 days, because of a public health order, put on my knee, you're not going to carry a gun in public unless you're a security guard that's licensed or police, you know. So they get such a hard-on, you know, over this gun laws and, you know, having a gun and what have you. So what about public education? What about, you know, taking care after children, well, after they're born? You know, these things matter, but, you know, losing the right to carry a gun, open carry, for 30 days. You should just, you know, chill out and have a dialogue, a discussion with people who you don't agree with about, you know, gun control and gun laws. But anyway, Elaine, calling from Michigan. Hello, Elaine. Welcome to the show.
Good evening. I'm sitting here racking my brain trying to remember the preamble to the Constitution. And so it seems to me, if my memory is correct, there is a phrase in there about guaranteeing the health, safety, and welfare of the residents. Mm-hmm. If you could, if somebody could pull it up. I mean, you know, if you want to keep quoting the Constitution, don't we have the right to live?
Yeah. No. Obviously not. They have more rights than us, Elaine.
I think there's something in the preamble to the Constitution about guaranteeing, I used to know it by heart at one time, but I've got so much on my plate right now, my computer mind just can't seem to bring it up. But there's something in there about guaranteeing all the rights of the people of the United States. So if one of the callers has their computer working, could they maybe call in with the preamble?
Look it up, yeah, if they could do that. That would be wonderful. Because the thing is, why should the public, you know, be afraid to, you know, to go out and worry about being shot? I mean, don't these people understand that it is just for their, it can even be for their own child's safety, you know? It could be for their mother or father's safety. And these people obviously don't even care about their own family's safety. That is the way I look at it. They don't value life at all. They only value their want to carry a gun. That is it. And it's appalling.
Yes, and I looked at that. The Constitution says every citizen has the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
That's the phrase I was looking for.
Yeah.
Repeat that again.
Yes, please.
The United States citizen have the right to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Life, and liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Pursuit of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's, you know, it means a safety.
Well, I know when you take your oath of office, there's a phrase in there about taking care of the general welfare of the people, and that doesn't mean you go get a check. Welfare in that sentence means that you keep your constituency safe, and that's what that woman is doing. That is what that governor of New Mexico is doing. She is keeping the majority safe. She's trying something. Yeah. You know, what really irks me is the media doesn't say, okay, other side, then what's your answer? None of them have any answers. All they have is rhetoric.
The only thing they'll say is it's their God-given right. It's in the Constitution. It's in the Second Amendment. The right to bear arms. That's all they have to say. That is it. They have nothing else to say that's worthwhile. They never mention, you know, safety or a life or, you know, saving a life. Never. They don't care. It's obvious.
Oh, but when they want to crawl in between a woman's legs, then they're talking about life.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. that's a whole other subject.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they go hand in hand with what they preach.
It does.
That character with the gun is trying to crawl in between a woman's legs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful.
Yes, ma'am. We'll have Khalil calling from the Commonwealth of Virginia. Hello, Khalil. What's up? What's cooking tonight?
Hello. The two things that bother me about the gun rights group is they either you can't have a talk about the wishy-washiness because they'll either not see their own hypocrisy or they, when you talk to them about it, or like let's say there's a movie like 44 Minutes or the FBI murders. Whenever movies like that are about officers outgunned, they don't want to talk about that. They just want to talk about how something is rhetoric to take away guns. You can't even talk about the inconsistency of the gun control crowd without someone deflecting and only wanting to talk about, well, if we ban guns, and it's like, that's not the only thing we're talking about. And not only that, but it's almost like they have a monopoly on what hypocrisy is because they want to say that cars kill as much as guns, but then as soon as someone brings up how guns have more safety features than cars, I mean cars have more safety features than guns, all of a sudden you don't have a right to a car. It's like what is it? Either cars are like guns or cars are not like guns. It's like why do these people do
exactly
that?
I mean, it's a typical Republican right-wing response where they're hypocrites and there's no reasoning with these people. They're illogical. They don't use the brain, if they do have a brain. And the critical thinking is just not there. Is there a way or a highway? And you have to listen to me, but I don't have to compromise and listen to you. This is why we're not getting nowhere in politics.
We have to keep repeating, we aren't taking their guns. We have not taken their guns. All we want is military weapons off the street.
Nobody wants
to take away their guns. Now
right,
look at
no
the people
does
in Philadelphia. It was brought up on The View. It's a darn good thing that people do have a gun in their house because they were afraid that character might hurt somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to take their legal gun.
And I don't. I had to hang up on a host, not a host, but a co-host, because he kept on deflecting attention. I was talking about the wishy-washiness of the gun control opponents, and the only thing he saw was the gun control thing. He never saw anything else I was saying, so I had to hang up on him because he kept on deflecting attention.
One way or the highway. That's it. They don't want to listen. You know, I mean, what is 30 days? 30 days to cool things down possibly. You know, that is nothing. Mm-hmm. 30 days is nothing. It's done in a blink.
At a protest I was at, I don't know if you saw the Charlottesville protest for gun safety. It was national.
Okay.
I had a picture of a police officer, and it said if we can ban Muslims, Syrians, and police, we can ban Muslims and Syrians from rifles, from guns, and we can ban police from automatic rifles. We could certainly ban the population. And that's when the guy I was talking to at the hospital just took whatever he wanted to take as well. He never took the fact that I was talking about the wishy-washiness. And that's when I just stopped talking to him. I try not to be like that, but it just makes me mad when people allow other people to get away with their wishy-washiness, especially something serious like this. It's not something where you can just deflect attention. If something is hurting, if you support something that hurts someone, but you don't support something that helps someone, especially life or death, then that needs to be called out. People don't need to be, saying me.
Yeah. All about me. All about my rights.
That 30-day ban, that does not include concealed weapons, does it? A person with a concealed weapon permit?
Yes, it does.
Oh, it does?
Mm-hmm. It's
okay.
Only for 30 days. That's all it's for. It's just to cool things down. That's all she's trying to do.
Exactly, exactly. But
well,
these right wingers,
is New Mexico an open carry state?
Yes, it is.
All right,
I think
now,
it is.
But
we'll have red flag laws on
people that legally can have a concealed weapon.
Yeah.
Yes, but we have red flag laws that were passed last year. You know, but we'll have strict gun laws in New Mexico, actually. You know,
okay.
So we do have open carry. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
But I was wondering what the ruling was on, though. I mean, was it also on if you have a permit to if you have a permit to concealed weapon?
Mm-hmm.
Did she also have the ban on that?
Yes, because she wants a cooling down period.
Okay.
A cooling down period of violence where kids are being killed, you know, regular citizens are being shot down because of crazy people, lunatics with guns, who, you know, have no sense of responsibility. Our crime and violence is way up in Albuquerque and Bernalillo County. You know, and she's trying to curb that, having a cooling off stage and everything. And as governor, she has the executive power to do that. It's not like she's taking, she's banning for life. You know, she's not doing that. She just wants to have a conversation with these right-wing lunatics and gun nuts about, hey, can we have better gun control? Can we have more responsible gun orders? I find nothing wrong with that.
One other problem I have with a lot of the gun control crowd is they're phony saying, well, you're exploiting the victim, while they either do the same thing or they're saying it about somebody that actually does care, and they're just not trying to listen. It just because you say someone's exploiting somebody, it doesn't make you any more compassionate. Sometimes it can make you more of an asshole because, like, if you look at it, there was a guy that was actually upset about his officer dying. And the NRA, I called him out for that, accused him of exploiting his officers. And I got so angry, I called him out on it. I said, first of all, have your house in order before you accuse someone of exploiting someone. Second of all, watch who you accuse of exploiting somebody. Because all you're saying when they actually care is they don't care. And that's just falsely accusing someone of not caring. And even if he was, have your house in order before you accuse someone of exploiting something. Because they did the same thing with the Fast and the Furious. You know, it was just to prove a point.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so whatever all of you think about, since we're talking about playing stupid games with stupid prizes, Tommy Tomerville, United States Senator from Alabama, he and George Santos from New York, and who else was it? Governor Kay Ivey of Alabama. They came together, especially Tomerville and George Santos, and trying to put legislation through. The co-sponsored this bill, wanting to, I think Lauren Boebert is in it too, make the AR-15 the national gun of the United States. This is how obsessed these people are. Starting with Lori, and then Elaine, and then Khalil, what are your thoughts on America having the AR-15 as a national gun? That's a little bit too obsessive, don't you think?
Well, I think you already know what I feel about that. I personally dislike guns. I don't care if people have them in their homes as long as they, you know, safely store them away and have a permit and know how to use them, but keep them away from me. And the AR, I've said this a million times, and your automatic rifles, we do not need them. They are weapons of war, and they should not be sold or in our possession at all. That's my opinion. I see any reason to have them. I mean, they're not for hunting. They're for killing people. They're used in battle, you know, and they were used in battle. They still are, yes, but you just, it has to go away. No.
Right. Elaine, what are your thoughts?
I don't see anything wrong with a legitimate hunting rifle, a bow and arrow, a fishing pole. They're all sports items. I don't see anything wrong with a person who needs a concealed weapon. And if the purpose is lawful, there is nothing wrong with it. But to have a military-style weapon is absolutely wrong. The military-style weapons belong to the military. And and the average military person will tell you that their weapon is a killing machine. And they also ban these bullets that when they enter, they explode. I mean, my God. What kind of society have we become?
Scary,
so that's my view on it. Nobody's taking their hunting rifle away. And these weapons, and including a bow and arrow, they need to be secure and away from not only children, but other stupid people that may come into your house and mishandle them.
Because just recently, for example, Elaine, where was it? In Tennessee, this four-year-old child, this adult who's 25 years old, she was teaching this young four-year-old child how to use a gun. It's not her kid, but yet still she's teaching her gun safety. And lo and behold, what happened was this 25-year-old shot this 4-year-old girl in the chest, killing her instantly. Now she's on first-degree murder. So this is how obsessed we are with guns in America. And my opinion is that the Second Amendment should be amended to the Constitution because other amendments were added to the Constitution, so it's possible. But because of such an obsession, this gun culture that we have, you know, I don't think that's possible anytime soon. And for the past 30 years, it wasn't for Chris, what's his name, the senator from Connecticut, and other Democrats in the U.S. Senate, for the first time in 30 years, tried to pass some gun control laws, you know, which was a good thing. No Republican votes. So, Khalil, you know, what's your opinion on it? Should the Second Amendment be amended, or?
I think that people need to be more consistent. Like, the way I feel is you got all these, the reason police officers are militarized is because civilians have whatever they want. And even then, when the civilians have whatever they want, the police are still so regulated, and they have those explosive type of bullets, and they have bullets that go through, that don't go through like civilians do, and they don't carry AK-47. And not only that, but the way I feel is like you can't say the police can't have all these military-style weapons if the civilians can, because if that will happen, and some, and even like Rand Paul, I had a bone to pick with him, not literally, but I was like upset with him because he feels like civilians should have whatever they want, while police should be banned from even like SWAT and criminal investigators, like local detectives and FBI agents and ATF agents. If you're an FBI agent, ATF agent, and you have a suit on and you're carrying a firearm and you can conceal that rifle, why can't a police officer have that if the civilian can't? If the civilian can't. And another thing is we constantly say if the police can have it, so can we, but they don't apply it the other way around. It's a two-way street. And so Lauren Boebert's going to do that, she needs to talk responsibility and at least allow and not be like Rand Paul and try to disarm police while allowing civilians to have whatever they want. I'm hoping Lauren Boebert doesn't do that at least, and I'm hoping she can, you know, be, you know, not exploit, not doing, not going against gun control when it's, when it supports her ability. I'm hoping she doesn't do that, like Alex Jones or like Rand Paul or anybody that just wants to go against, talk about gun control when it's to be racist, or talk against, talk for gun control when it's the police. And like I said, I don't, the AR-15 M16 shouldn't be with anybody, civilian or police. But the way I feel is if you have police officers that are already banned and are already forced to carry, they are forced to carry. They can't decide they're not going to carry in the U.S. or the U.N. And they have guns that explode in their body and they stop. But civilians don't. Why are we saying, why should the police not have this but the civilians? It doesn't make sense.
Nope.
And so that's what that's what she needs to do if she's going to do it. She needs to make sure that it's for everybody, not just the civilians, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
Alex Jones did the same thing. He blamed Black Lives Matter when the shooting happened in Dallas, but he was the same one that argued only for civilians to have rifles but not police. And that's another reason I lost respect for Alex Jones, because he didn't support gun control until it benefited him. And until, I didn't know Alex Jones was a nut until I started seeing every single shooting he would call out for shooting. And until he started to say racist things. But after that and after Charlottesville, I really started to I really lost respect for him, and I was really done with him. So it's like you want to have a gun, you want to have a gun and you want people to have an AR-15, either have the police have the same amount for equal playing field to protect themselves and the civilians, or don't have it at all, you know. And I really feel that she needs to think hard about it before she does it and not be one of those that just wants it for civilians. Because like I said, I'm not necessarily for anybody having it, not even the police. But like I said, if the police, the civilians can have that, then so can the police.
Yeah, exactly. Because, it's a complicated issue, because from the beginning of time, beginning of the Republic, you know, the Second Amendment is entrenched and everything. You know, but I seriously believe that we should, you know, have regulations, and we should amend the Second Amendment. Because, for example, in Iowa, there's no godly reason Iowans, they allow blind people to carry guns in Iowa. Blind people, they can't drive, but yet still they can own a gun. That's insane. That's madness. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, changing gears a little bit. Yeah, go ahead, Kelly.
I tell people on YouTube when they say the police have these rifles, I'm telling them the police officers not only have to train with these rifles, they don't get the luxury like the civilians do, but I tell them that the police are forced to carry guns. Even if they didn't want to carry a gun, they would have to carry a gun to protect themselves, their fellow officers, and the public. And even some of the suspects. So I tell them that all the time. You know, and then not only that, I tell them that they have hollow point bullets, and that they, the ones that have the rifles, they're either rifles for emergencies or they are concealed rifles. So I tell people that use that equation.
Yes. Yeah, we're changing gears now, and we're moving on to Senator Lindsey Graham. But first, Lori had something to read on air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a comment here from Wolf. He's a listener from Alabama, and I'm going to read his comment. He said, I think you've been reading my mind on tonight's topic. Some fortuitous turns of the worm, so to speak. Political theater made me think of Anonymous, which leaned more left than the center of the political spectrum. The 2016 election drove a wedge between them, unfortunately. I also have read the news this weekend of Project Veritas going bankrupt. I have crocodile tears for that. You all may remember that Project Veritas is a far-right group that posted deceptively altered videos, some of which stoked the fires of anti-abortion groups. Project Veritas, it's spelled V-E-R-I-T-A-S. I personally have never heard of them before. That's why I'm spelling it. Has previously associated with fringe conspiracy theorists and made appeals to the far right, including QAnon supporters. QAnon conspiracy, as I posted last evening on the Orange You're Glad He's Gone group, isn't original at all. It's ripped from the opening scene of Mr. Robot, which pretty much means not only is QAnon conspires crazy, but also lazy. I believe they were born out of the need to reinvent Anonymous with the flair of the right wing. Yes, big lies that they are scatter shooting against our democracy is an attempt at disinformation to dilute the truth in order to steal away our country. They don't have to prove anything or hone into anyone's complete beliefs. They're casting a wide net of conspiracies. I said it before, I'll say it again. It would be a miscalculation to dismiss the threat with faith. I'm hoping they can keep him off the ballot in 2024. His supporters have said they would write him in. That would split the conservative vote and help President Biden. I'll close with my mad love for David and Lori and to the Kitchen Politics 123. Keep up the good fight. Thank you, Wolf. Thank you so much. Love your comments.
Yes, thank you, Wolf in Alabama. Yes, ma'am. I want to thank Khalil for calling as well. He was in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Okay, we're going to move on to Lindsey Graham, U.S. Senator from South Carolina. Of course, you know Miss Lindsey. He loves to blab his mouth, run his mouth, and defend Trump at, you know, no expense, even to his reputation and, you know, to his credibility, because he has none, basically. He plays or tries to play on both sides of the political aisle. Wherever the breeze blows, that's where Lindsey Graham is. A perfect example is when the January 6th happened. He stood on that floor in the Senate chamber and said, "That's it for me. I'm off. You know, I can't support this anymore." Well, a couple of days' time, he's just supporting Trump. And up to this day, he's still supporting Trump. And a Fulton County grand jury suggested charges for a more sweeping group of allies of former President Trump, including three U.S. senators, with Lindsey Graham being one of them, as they evaluate charging recommendations for those involved in election interference after he lost the 2020 election. So included among a list of recommended indictments were two former U.S. senators from Georgia who ran for re-election in 2020. That's former Senator David Perdue and former Senator Kelly Loeffler, as well as current Senator from South Carolina, Senator Lindsey Graham, and Georgia's Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones. You know, to support Trump and his garbage, his evil, maniacal, crazy insurrection effort to overthrow democratically elected government of the United States of America. And no time in the history has that ever happened. Maybe in the 1930s when FDR was president, and you remember this name, Prescott Bush. He was a U.S. Senator from Connecticut, and he was censored for the rest of the time in the U.S. Senate because of what he and other Republicans tried in overthrowing FDR, saying he was too socialist and what have you. And a good thing is a good thing that chose a wrong general in the Army. His name was Smedley Butler, and Smedley Butler ratted all of them out. So that was the end of Prescott Bush's political career. And, of course, you know the whole history of the Bush crime family. George Bush Sr., George W. Bush, Jeb Bush, whomever else. You know, they're all crooks. The Republicans make these current crop of Republicans make Richard Nixon look like a Boy Scout, especially Donald Trump. You know, and Smedley Butler ratted out on immunity. and it was just swept under the rug. The Bush family still operate today, and it's a travesty because nothing good's come from the right. I'm telling you, nothing. You know, the last good president the right wing had was David Eisenhower, Ike, you know, and he knows what war was. During his 8 years in office, there was peace, there was prosperity, you know, infrastructure was built, you know, the highway system was during his tenure as president. He did well. He put money in public schools. You know, he was just one of the great Republican presidents, one of the best presidents ever in my estimation, in my humble opinion. You know, Lincoln, FDR, and Ike, my three. You know, they're good people who put partisan aside, partisan politics, and just worked together to move the country forward. But what we have now is Republicans putting the party ahead of the country. And while Democrats in Congress try to work with Joe Biden and move America forward, you know, Republicans like Tommy Tuberville in Alabama blocking, you know, the confirmation of military people, you know, put serious risk on the security of the United States, not only here, but around the world. So, you know, we need to vote out people like Tommy Tuberville. We need to vote out people like Lauren Boebert, who want the AR-15 to be a national gun. George Santos, forget about it. He should be gone a long time ago. He has no integrity, no scruples. He is a liar, you know, first-grade, bold-faced liar. And how many times did his mother die? He's not Jewish, you know, and he's just a liar. A lot of them are liars. Marjorie Taylor Greene leads the pack in the craziness. But anyway, I have a clip here, and it's about Lindsey Graham and his response to the grand jury recommending charges against him, and Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue, the two previous U.S. senators that represented Georgia in the U.S. Senate. And here it is.
What do you think of the report being released today, its contents, and what the recommendation was from the special grand jury?
You know, I have I'm very worried about the country right now. I was the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. This election was contested in courts in multiple states. I had to explain to the people of South Carolina my vote, had to decide whether or not to have a hearing about the allegations in Georgia and other places. I called around different states, including Georgia, as a sitting United States Senator, Chairman of the Judiciary Committee. I eventually certified the election in all states, including Georgia. I didn't find any evidence of mass voter fraud, but I did have concerns about the mail-in ballot systems in Georgia and other places. This is troubling for the country. We can't criminalize senators doing their job when they have a constitutional requirement to fulfill. It would be irresponsible for me, in my opinion, as chairman of the committee, not to try to find out what happened. It would be irresponsible for me to tell the voters of South Carolina what I did without actually trying to find out what the right answer was. So we're opening up Pandora's box here. Fulton County is one of the most liberal jurisdictions in the country. I fear this will spread, that the next election, Democrats may be on the other side of this. So at the end of the day, nothing happened. What I did was consistent with my job as being United States Senator, Chairman of the Judiciary Committee, but it was just not me. Three United States senators were opening up Pandora's box. I think the system in this country is getting off the rails, and we have to be careful not to use the legal system as a political tool.
Okay, so this is the same Lindsey Graham who says not to use the judiciary system as a political tool, but yet still he voted yes to overturn Roe versus Wade. Isn't that using the justice system to overturn? What is he talking about, this man? What is wrong with these Republicans? Seriously. You know, they're talking one side of the mouth, and on the other side they're trying to appease their stupid supporters. What is going on in this country? Tell me, why are these people elected every 2 to 4 years?
I don't understand. you know, today I was, it's so funny because I was thinking to myself, I have to make a list. I have to make a list of who I think is the are the possible co-conspirators of January 6th in Georgia. Because I can, these people are off the rails, and this is my own satisfaction. So this is a list that I came up with. Jim Jordan, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, Gozar, Biggs, Ron Johnson, Mike Lee, McCarthy, Lindsey Graham, Boebert, Ted Cruz, Kelly Loeffler, Flynn, Ginny Thomas, and maybe Clarence Thomas. I think all of them, in some way, and I have no way to prove it, of course, but in my opinion, because they are working so hard against, you know, the January 6th committee and Smith and Jack Smith and, you know, Ginny in Georgia, the DA.
Bonnie Willis.
Bonnie Willis. And, you know, they're working against all of this every single day. So when you work so hard against justice, especially when it has to do with our government being trying to overturn our government and trying to interfere with our democratic election, don't you think that maybe these people have something to do with it and they're trying to hide things and just keep people off
track?
Oh,
definitely, for sure. Yes, because some of those names that you call, some of those names you call is before January 6th, they're in a meeting, somewhere on the phone. And some were a room together saying, let our supporters go up to Capitol Hill and raise hell and what have you. Steve Bannon even said it on his show, his radio show. You know, Jim Jordan and Lauren Boebert and even Marjorie Taylor Greene had an audience with members and their constituencies, showing them the ins and outs of Capitol Hill, giving them a tour. And secret compartments where, in case there's an emergency, Congress members can go to. Lauren Boebert gave a detailed minute-for-minute direction of where Nancy Pelosi was, who was with her and everything. No, if that's not treasonous, if that's not inciting a riot and trying to kill the then Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. What the hell is? What is? You know, these people have no sense of patriotism. Imagine your supporters that you goaded and, you know, you say, hey, you know, they're stealing the election. We're standing up for you. Go get them. And they themselves had to run for their lives. Look at Josh Hawley, the U.S. Senator from Missouri. You know, not even Ben Johnson or Carl Lewis could catch him that day. He hauled ass out of there like nothing. After showing the fist, the pumping of the defiant fist, you know? So these Republicans set things out of the mouth, one side, and on the other side, they're trying to appease the ignorant, stupid, inbred base. And it should stop. And people who added to this insurrectionist and this throwing fuel on a fire, they need to be held accountable. That includes Jim Jordan. That includes the list that he named. And list that a name that he didn't say was what's his name? The white hair fella with Richard Nixon tattooed on his back. I can't remember his name. Slipping now. You know, but these people are psychos. They want the way, they will get away to throw a tantrum and put everybody in danger. It has to stop.
The thing is, David, is that the American people have to start to wake up and they have to understand what is happening. They are trying to basically take over our government. And if they go into power, if the Republicans get into power, America is never going to be the same. I don't know if people understand that. You know, you can kiss goodbye so many rights that you have right now, and a lot of them we've already seen taken away, but you're going to see more coming right. And it's going to be ugly. So you have to choose democracy or not? What do you want in the end? Because if you don't want democracy, then you are just get out of the country right now. You know, I mean, I guess my frustration is that I don't understand if people really get the point of what's happening in this country. You know, you talked about Tuberville, which I'm not going to get into it in depth, but he is holding the military hostage for the past 6 months, you know, because he wants to take away abortion rights from the women in the military. And he's holding all these appointees hostage, basically. This is one man. And he also has no experience. He was never in any public. He was never a servant of public before. He was never a congressman. He's only been around for 2 years. And all of a sudden, this man wields all this power. How can this be in this country? How can it be?
Mm-hmm.
President Biden, and I did look it up, President Biden really cannot do much to fix this problem. He doesn't have the power to do it because of the Senate rule, which I find disgusting. Because look at what's happening in this country. Just look every day. I'm just frustrated, and I feel like we're always backpedaling every day. There is just never any good news. I mean, we had a president that just went, he went to Japan. I mean, he took like a whirlwind tour. He was literally up 24 hours, that man, and he was with the G20. And then he went to Taiwan. And, I mean, everyone talks about Joe Biden not being competent. But, dear God, who can do that? Who can do that? And he did it.
Well, definitely not Donald Trump because Donald Trump is only 2 years younger than him. And we see what a psycho Donald Trump is compared to Joe Biden, who's calm, cool, collected. He brought us off the brink, off the edge of the cliff. 13 million new jobs, manufacturing jobs are being insourced rather than outsourced. You know, he has done a lot for COVID and stopping COVID spread. It's making a comeback now, but Joe Biden and his administration has none of control. You know, he, and like I said, Chris Coons, from the state of Connecticut, the U.S. Senator, got together and, you know, had gun control laws and everything. You know, so this guy is working with Democrats because Republicans refuse to work with him and Democrats in Congress, you know, to get things moving, to get things in perspective. And he's not out there every other day on a golf course, you know, using taxpayer money, you know, playing golf and relaxing and not reading daily presidential briefings. Trump was off the rails. And when you talk about not having up there in the head, Trump should be on the top of that end list, you know, because he showed what a lunatic he is, you know, when he courted people like Kim Jong-un from North Korea, the then Brazilian dictator, I can't remember his name right, Bolsonaro, that's his name, and other dictators around the world. He wishes he was them, but it's not going to happen because it's the United States of America and we don't allow that slackness to happen. You know, you tried on January 6th as a test run, it failed miserably, and you and your people going down. We're not going to tolerate that in America. This is a bastion of democracy and freedom. And Donald Trump and your minions out there who are listening, you will not get away with this. Justice will be served. And the 14th Amendment will come up. There's steam gathering for the 14th Amendment to disbar and disallow Trump from running for president of the United States again, or any political office for what he inspired, what he motivated. And people say, hey, Trump wasn't there on January 6th. Okay, yeah, he went back to the White House like a coward, but the same rule applies to Charles Manson. Manson didn't shoot or slash anybody's throat when he went to the Sharon Tate's house, but his words inspired people to murder and commit crimes in his name. You know, so Donald Trump, you're the same boat as Charles Manson. You're fucking crazy, mm-hmm. and you have no business being president of the United States. Not even local dog catcher you're qualified for. So shut your fucking mouth, take your punishment like a real man, and when you go in prison, don't drop the soap, because Baba and his bitches, they get you. I digress.
We all look forward to that. You know, the thing is, David, is that sat in that tent, and I'll never forget that. He mm-hmm. and his daughter, his sons, you know, all of his little cronies were all, you know, with their big, big white screen TVs and, you know, drinking and partying and watching an insurrection, watching people be maimed and hurt. And some got poor, were killed, and watched them bash in windows and act like animals. And they thought it was mm-hmm. cool. They thought it was awesome, obviously, because they didn't stop it or tell them to stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, police officers.
And for what I saw, never.
Yeah, Capitol police officers were actually killed.
Yes, four of them. And mm-hmm. a couple, I think one or two committed suicide afterwards. That's how horrific
yes,
it was. Sitman.
Officer Sitman, that's his name.
Yes.
You know, and a listener, a frequent listener to our show, Sheila, she's in, I think, Chicago, Illinois, rightly say that people in this country are not smart, they're uneducated, and the education that they have been given is poor, so they have no sound ground. People are struggling financially. People are bored. People are finding entertainment and raising against the system. And she's right, you know. She's absolutely right when she said that. You know,
that's
it's like some people think the American dream was just total and utter bullshit. That's nonsense,
mm-hmm.
you know, because mm-hmm. when you have the American dream, you know, as a white person, you're privileged on the get-go from birth. You know, what about the Native Americans? What about African Americans? What about Latinos and Hispanics? Mm-hmm. You know, they have to fight for their American dream, and nobody make it on their own. You know, living the American mm-hmm. dream without the help of others. You know, we're more than a melting pot. We're an ethnic salad in America. And the quicker
yes,
and sooner Republicans realize that, you know, the 76% majority white losing the grip on influence and power, the better it is for us as a nation to heal and move forward, because Generation X taking over, millennials taking over, new batch of voters coming in, and come 2024, there are going to be a clean sweep, not only in Congress and federal level, but also statewide and local elections, because people, no matter what level of government is, they're sick of Republican policies. What are Republican policies? Taking away women's rights. Taking away the rights of immigrants, taking away the rights of, you know, right. everything and anything who's not with them or look like them yes. or agree with them politically or in religious terms. Mm-hmm. You know, so their time is going, and they're doing everything in terms of, like, you know, taking away the vote from people and maligning mm-hmm. and marginalizing people. And America, like I said, will not stand for that. You will not stand for it.
Well,
go ahead, Lori.
I say the comment that you just read, I have to agree with, because I am also afraid that people are not only uneducated when it comes to what's happening in our society, what's happening in this country right now. I think that they're not paying attention, and I think that a lot of them are working too hard. A lot of them work two jobs. They are trying to, yes, make ends meet, you know, and so they don't have the time, and they don't want to take the time, because also all of this news every day is very depressing. It's depressing. It's disheartening. It's scary. And it makes you wonder what direction this country is headed in. It really does. I just know, I feel like we have to shock some people into reality. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
To shock some
mm-hmm.
people. And mm-hmm. I just don't know how. But there has to be a way. Because
mm-hmm.
people are not understanding how frail, and our democracy is really holding on by its right now. I really, truly feel that way, unless we can get a blue wave. Like, I think we can get a blue wave, but I don't think that there's enough fear that's been put into the American people to make them understand what these Republicans are trying to do to this country, how they're tearing it apart. I don't know if they understand that or not. That's what I'm worried about.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. And, you know, even though you made a point about them working two, sometimes three jobs and everything and don't have the time, make the time, make a plan, as Joe Biden said in 2020, because this is your future, your kids' future, your grandchildren's future, the future of America. Because if the Republicans come in there in 2024, everything, your whole in self-esteem, will go gone down the toilet because Republicans don't give a damn about your rights. You know, as long as they help them and line their pockets and everything, that's what they care about. They don't care about anything else, you know. And when the malign Democrats, look at the record of Joe Biden. In 2 years, what he's done as president, you know, FDR was the last president who did that. That's how, you know, this man is working on behalf of the American people. So don't listen to Republicans and the spin machine.
No. This administration, you know, it's sad, David.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, we're going to take a musical interlude break and go on to other topics. You know, we set the tone and calm it down a little bit. And I hope people enjoy the song parody. Patrick Fitzgerald, he is the responsible for the Omen song tonight. And this next song that we're going to hear, Big Trump Plays Georgia, is a parody of Midnight Train to Georgia by Gladys Nathan Pips, and I hope everybody like it. So we'll come back. We're going to take more of your calls and your comments and everything. And you can call in 515-605-9802. Visit our website, kitchenpolitics123.com. Nora has a new blog article up. So this is Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Here's a musical interlude. We'll see you on the flip side.
Funny, proved too much for the man.
Too much for the man, he couldn't shake her.
So he greeted the life at Mar-a-Lago. Ooh.
He said he's running.
He said he's running out of time.
Running out of time.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. To turn himself in and pay for all the crimes, the times he tried to overthrow. He's leaving.
Leaving.
On that big Trump plane to Georgia.
Leaving on a big Trump plane.
Ooh, yeah. Said he's flying up.
Lying up the sea.
To be arrested for conspiracy.
Oh,
yeah.
Gonna have to plead, I'm not guilty.
Melania will be with him.
Oh, no, she won't.
On that big Trump plane
to
Georgia.
Leaving on a big Trump plane to Georgia.
I'd rather see him in jail than see him continue to
whine. Sell. It's his. His and his alone.
Welcome back to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. I'm glad you joined us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Lori Picka in Michigan. That was really cute.
Yes, yes. And you can look on YouTube, Patrick Fitzgerald, just type in his name, and he has a lot of parody songs, mocking Donald Trump. Well done, Patrick Fitzgerald. Mm-hmm. If you can come on the show, please, we welcome you any day, any time. We're on Sundays and Mondays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Okay, so next topic we're going to move on to. Before we do that, I want to special shout out to Paula, who is a longtime listener. She has bone cancer, I've been told, and she's entering the hospital in the last hour.
Yeah.
So, you know, we want everybody to put in a special, you know, thought and kind prayer to her. And it's Margarita's sister. Margarita is a longtime listener and longtime caller to the show and everything. So wish the family, you know, healing. You know, cancer is a dangerous, deadly disease.
Very bad. I'm so sorry. I agree. I hope everyone sends a prayer to her because, like you said, she did just enter the hospital and she does have bone cancer. So we wish her well and a little strength and healing.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Okay, so don't be shy, call in. The number is 515-605-9802. Say your first name, where you're calling from. We want to visit our official website, kitchenpolitics123.com. I hope you like it because merchandise will be on sale pretty soon. Labor Day coming up, and that's when the presidential race really kicks in. So the government shutdown looms as the deadline is September 12th this year, and Congress has until September 30th to pass 12 spending bills that will keep the government running. But hard-right House Republicans say they aren't signing off on the bills or voting to extend the deadline for funding until their demands are met. California Congressman Robert Garcia joined American Voices host Alicia Mendez to discuss what's happening on Capitol Hill in a recent MSNBC show. And Republicans like Marjorie Taylor Greene and the usual suspects saying that they want an abortion ban in military. And if they don't get what they want, then the government will lock down. And the spending bills, the 12 spending bills that's up, it's not going to happen because we spend too much. So where were they when Donald Trump was running up the deficit, $7 trillion in deficit? You know, these people, again, you know, you play a stupid game to win stupid prizes.
Yep.
I have an idea for Mr. Tuberville. I guess that's how you pronounce it.
Tuberville.
He wants to have an abortion ban in the military. Okay, then every male has to get a vasectomy.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds fair.
You want to be intrusive? Well, we can be intrusive back. It's time us females start fighting back. So, Mr. Tuberville, I want you to make a statement now that you will okay the promotions for all the military as long as every male in the military, and that's all branches of the service, go out and get a vasectomy.
That'll never happen, you know that.
Of course it won't. But it's time us women start talking the hardball talk. It's time we start pushing points. Because enough is enough.
And why is it? Yeah, Elaine and Lori, why is it that male members of Congress get unlimited supply of Viagra and taxpayer dollar and taxpayer dime? You know, I mean, they need that much Viagra and taxpayer dime.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus Christ, some of these people are near 90 years old and still, you know, they take Viagra. I mean, they don't complain about it, but, you know, once a woman is involved, you know, say, hey, okay, you shouldn't have an abortion no matter what, even if you're a rape or it's an incest, you know, or your life is in danger. You should have that baby because God said, the Bible say, you know, but yet still they're getting Viagra, unlimited amount of Viagra and taxpayer money. Isn't that hypocrisy to the best? You know, again, when you vote for these people, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. And the prize here is people like Tuberville.
You're giving the male members of Congress the Viagra, okay? It's but yet these Republican men do not want a woman who gets raped in the first month and a half, 2 months, 3 months, get an abortion. Well, because it's their God gave them the baby. Well, God gave them the limp dick. So no more Viagra.
Exactly.
I hate to be so crude, but you know what? These men have forced us women to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's call a spade, you know, enough is enough. I take away
Amen.
A law from war versus dead. How can women survive, you know, like Laura and other people are saying tonight, I mean, in past shows, people working 2-3 jobs and are worried about the economic outlook and everything. Imagine a poor woman who has 3, probably 4 kids already, and God forbid get raped or some incestuous thing happen. She's not pregnant. Would you want to have your rapist baby? I don't think so. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So stop it, Republicans, because you seem family values Republicans, especially from Missouri, the last 2 election cycles. The people who were running for U.S. Senate, they had mistresses. The mistresses got pregnant. And what did they do? Pay somebody on the quiet to make the mistress have an abortion. You know, so what's with the hypocrisy? Seriously, how can you sleep at night, Republicans, knowing full well that you say one thing in public but do another thing in private? So abortion is not good for everybody else, but it's good enough for you and your mistress. Yeah, good family values there, Republicans.
The narrative
so
that they have portrayed is that every woman that walks in that door has an abortion, and that is bullshit. The women that walk in that door are getting examinations. They're getting pap smears. They're getting mammograms. They're getting birth control. Some of them have female problems, MOGTOs, and all kind and ovary problems and et cetera. Sometimes a woman gets pregnant in her tube, and you can't let that fetus develop in that tube because it's going to kill the woman, and there is no vital life for that fetus in that tube. It's not going to live.
No.
Mm-hmm.
So
this
narrative has got to stop, too. We've got to start talking different. Women that walk into that clinic do not have the means to go to a regular doctor. I got into a discussion with a man yesterday about this. And he said, well, you can go to your doctor. Excuse me, but a poor woman, she hasn't even got the means to go get a mammogram. I'm getting tired.
Exactly.
I am getting sick and tired of these men who do not have the illnesses. They do not have the problems. You know, I'd gladly give you guys the problems that we have from the time we get our period. And even after our period is gone, we have more problems than you can even think of. I'd gladly give you these problems. We need family planning centers, period.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's just like everything else. It's just like everything. The Republican Party has drilled into people's minds that these family, you know, these family planning, you know, they made they're saying they're abortion clinics. They are not abortion clinics. You can walk in there, and if you're even thinking about an abortion, they will talk to you, and they will explain the procedure to you, and they will ask you questions, and they will make you feel comfortable, and maybe you won't even get the abortion. That is not what that is for. It's family planning. So it's the medical care as well. And they have made it out into being something horrible. Like, you know, you walk in there and they take you into a room and they, you know, give you an abortion because you signed that you want an abortion, just like that. No, it doesn't happen like that. It's so frustrating.
They repeat a lie enough that people start believing it. And I also blame the media. When they would get on the air, they would call these abortion clinics. They are not abortion clinics. They are family planning clinics.
Yeah.
And the minute somebody, and it's like the immigrants. Those are immigrants. They aren't illegals.
No.
We got to correct them every time they misspoke. speak. Mm-hmm. Every time they misspeak, we've got to correct them. Enough is enough.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Okay, so the next thing on the item tonight, the agenda, is where should we go next, Lori? Ex-Trump aide Peter Navarro found guilty of contempt at of Congress. And there's this this woman. Oh, my Lord, I love this woman behind Peter Navarro with her signs, you know, blowing whistles and taunting him and everything. He actually tried to grab the sign out of her hand. And, you know, she, like, taunted him even more after that. So ex-Trump aide Peter Navarro found guilty in contempt of Congress. And the former White House official ignored subpoenas from January 6th panel. Democratic senators dare Republicans to impeach Biden. They're on this impeachment kick. On what grounds? Nobody knows. Not even Republicans goddamn know. So, Peter Navarro, how dare you ignore a subpoena for January 6th panel? You're not above the law. Mm-hmm. And quite a few of them, even members of Congress, they ignored subpoenas from the United States Congress over January 6th. And Jim Jordan being one of them. These people do really believe that they're above the law and everything. So, you know, he was found guilty, Navarro was found guilty in two counts of criminal contempt of Congress after he ignored a subpoena issued last year by the House January 6th Committee during investigations in the Capitol Hill attack. You know, and Navarro was a White House aide to Donald Trump. He was found guilty. And the investigation was into the deadly January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Navarro promoted his basis claims of mass voter fraud, which was proven incorrect and lie, was convicted of two misdemeanor counts and contempt of Congress, both punishable by up to a year behind bars. So he is facing 2 years. So, and then Donald Trump filed notice in Fulton County that he may seek to have his 2020 election subversion case removed to federal court, which he can't do. Right. That's a waste of time. It's another stalling tactic. And Trump. It's just a stalling tactic, really. Yeah, and Mark Meadows, the former White House chief of staff, and his arguments before taking the steps, that there was a warranted skepticism that Trump's effort to remove the case will prove successful. Fani Willis, the Fulton County DA, accused House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan of inappropriately interfering in her criminal prosecution of Donald Trump and 18 other allies over efforts to overturn 2020 elections in Georgia. In a scathing 9-page letter to Jordan, Willis said to the congressman he lacks basic understanding of law and that there's no justification in the Constitution for Congress to interfere with a state criminal matter as he is attempting to do. You know, so again, Jim Jordan doing everything in his power to try to help Donald Trump elude justice, and he's like crossing some boundaries that even the Constitution of the United States, you know, said that you're not allowed to do. Because if it were a federal crime, then great, you know, there is some argument. But it's a state crime, Georgia laws. It has nothing pertaining to do with federal laws, and Jim Jordan should just butt the hell out. So Wednesday, Fani Willis asked a judge to shield protective jurors' identities after grand jurors who indicted Donald Trump. And his 18 co-defendant last month faced harassment after their names and addresses were posted online. And the reason why they can't get it done is because a Russian, it was posted by a Russian person, and the website is Russian, so we have no jurisdiction to remove it. You know, so, you know, they face racist online abuse, these people. They face daily constant harassment where people coming into their homes, basically, and threatening them. You know, I mean, it has to stop. Donald Trump and his 18 co-defendants, Rudy Giuliani on top there, and the Kraken lawyer, Sidney Powell, they need to be severely punished. and the 22 years,
yep.
And the oath keeper or the Proud Boys leader got. That's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yep.
Donald Trump should get, if anything, twice as much in prison
yep.
sentence for what he did, because this is the United States of America. We're not a dictatorship. We're a democracy. We're a republic. We're not going to stand for that. We will not stand for people trying to overthrow our government. Enough is enough, you know? But anyway, moving right along, what's next on the agenda?
Let me see here. Oh, let's just talk about Vivek for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's really on my nerves.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe he is just a spoiled man with too much money that is bored and thinks that he could be president of the United States of America. I really do. And he is condescending when he speaks. He has a very loud voice and irritating. So, Vivek Ramaswamy's anti-woke investment firm now manages assets worth more than $1 billion. So Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy is a co-founder of anti-woke ETF firm. The company was set up last year and now manages assets worth more than $1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
This firm is opposed to the ESG-centric policies of big investments. The anti-activism investment fund, co-founded by Republican presidential hopeful Vivek, I'm just going to say Vivek because he annoys me, is now managing assets worth $1 billion. So Stride Asset Management was in 2022 as too big fund managed such BlackRock that has increasingly pursued a strategy of environmental, social, and governance focusing on ESG investing. Its mantra of encouraging companies to focus on excellence has struck a chord with some investors. Ramaswamy's bid is also bringing more funds to Stride, according to Bloomberg Intelligence. So in my eyes, this man has just a little bit too much money. He doesn't belong. He should not be running for president. Why is he running for president? For what? He has no experience in government whatsoever. His age, okay, 39 years old, I believe, which I don't care about the age so much, but with no experience and being a billionaire, I feel that he would be insensitive to the American people anyway. That's my take on him.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't he have a hedge fund similar to what Jared Kushner's got?
I don't know.
His business is over $1 billion in investments. That's a hedge fund
mm-hmm.
right there, you know? So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
of course he does, you know?
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's why he's mm-hmm. kissing up to the Trump family.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I wonder where he got his investments from. I wonder which countries.
You know,
Maybe the Democrats ought to get smart and start investigating him.
They might, but I don't know what his poll numbers are. I don't think he's going to go anywhere. But in this day and age, I'm not sure about anything anymore. I really am not.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah. So BlackRock, the Walk ESG Master Plan, it was revealed recently, and. You know, this is not a long clip and everything, but I'm going to play it for the listeners to hear that who BlackRock is, to give put in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm doing something wrong with the feed here. I'm trying to clear this thing and it's not happening. Oh, for God's sake. But anyway, moving right along.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with the feed and everything.
Okay. Let's go on to Governor DeSantis. He's on the... Governor DeSantis and the Florida Surgeon General warn against COVID-19 restrictions and vaccines. He's already causing controversy for something that hasn't happened. No one is forcing anybody to do anything. Once again. So in Miami, in Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis on Thursday criticized across the U.S. to tamp down a recent jump in COVID-19 cases through temporary restrictions or masking, and his state Surgeon General warned against getting the latest COVID-19 vaccine, which is expected to be available this month. The criticism from DeSantis at the news conference in Jacksonville, Florida, arrived the same day at his campaign for the 2024 GOP presidential nomination, sent out emails to supporters vowing to fight back against every bogus attempt the left makes to expand government control when it comes to COVID-19 precautions. God forbid if somebody gets sick and wants the vaccine. President Biden has not said a word about COVID. He's not said a word. Yes, it's spiking. Yes, it's fall. And you know what? It's not as bad as it was. And I'm sure there are people that are immune compromised and they can get very sick. I'm sure of that. They can probably even be hospitalized. So those people need to take care of themselves and get the vaccine, the new one when it comes out. They can wear their mask. You know, if I don't feel well, I don't feel bad about wearing the mask if I go out, you know, grocery shopping, or if I go out and about. I don't feel bad about if I had to wear a mask if I didn't feel that well. So what is the problem here? What is the problem with this man? Someone explain it to me.
It's their narrative. They have got to keep the rest of us on our toes. It's their narrative. They're already predicting that the election is going to be not right, because there's going to be an abundance of mail-in ballots. They're already making statements. They're already making statements that the government is going to create another COVID. It's election year. They're already making those statements. One of the statements they made was it's going to be an election year. I suppose COVID's going to spike, and that means more mail-in ballots. And we know what happens with mail-in ballots, according to the Republicans.
In this country, that can get a mail-in ballot does that. If you can mail in your ballot, do that instead of going to the poll. Mail in your ballot. It's safe, it's fast, and it's not rigged, for sure. I mean, you have to sign it, it's sealed, etc. Everyone needs to mail in their ballot if they can do that. Mm-hmm. It's going to be safer, like I said, than going to the poll. It really is.
We live in Michigan, for crying out loud. We don't know if it's going to be 70 degrees on election day, or are we going to get a combination of rain, snow, and sleet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And freezing rain.
In Michigan, everyone gets mail-in ballots. Everyone gets. Our Secretary of State made sure that she fixed everything. You know, she made it so that everyone in the state gets a mail-in ballot. So we don't have a problem here in Michigan. I don't know about other states, but we can mail in our ballots, and we're good to go here. We don't have to worry about going to the polls.
They're already doing a narrative against mail-in ballots.
I don't care.
Yeah, but we're going to come back to this. But the DeSantis and the Florida Surgeon General warned against new COVID vaccine restrictions.
And actually, a new COVID variant is causing an uptick in cases. This is happening here in the Tampa Bay area and across the nation. Some places are now looking into temporary restrictions on masking. But tonight, Governor Ron DeSantis maintains that's not the way to go, doubling down on his stance in Jacksonville alongside other state leaders.
No one can force you to muzzle yourself against your consent. And as we see this stuff being orchestrated, trying to shove down people's throats, there needs to be pushback because there wasn't pushback back in March of 2020.
Yeah, there was a lot of pushback in March 2020, you stupid moron. Oh, my God. He led the way.
He used to get a case of COVID, a really bad case of COVID, and have to go into the hospital and suffer for a while. That's what he needs to do, because this man is moronic.
Well, Trump got COVID. It didn't seem to do anything for him.
No, I guess not.
I guess warped his brain a little bit more. He's a little bit more fucked up and evil. But that's a typical Republican, just fucked up and evil.
Yep.
Yeah. Who said he even really had it? Anyway, 515-605-9802 is the number you call. This is Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show with me, David Franklin, in New Mexico, and Laura Picken in Michigan. We'll have online here from Michigan, Elaine, a longtime listener, a longtime caller. And the topic tonight is Season 5, Episode 31, Play Stupid Games, Win Stupid Prizes. So the Republicans, there is no hope for them because, you know, what they want is just power. And we'll see what they do with this power. When they come into power, they waste taxpayer money by investigating things like the Hunter Biden laptop, which is a nothing burger. But yet still, the people like Rip McForehead from Florida, Matt Gaetz, there's evidence, solid evidence, showing him the receipts of him paying underage girls across state lines to have sex with.
Yeah.
But why don't we investigate that? Why don't we investigate the $2 billion that Saudis give to Jared Kushner? You know, no, they'd rather, you know, waste people's taxpayer dollars investigating rubbish and garbage and disproven things. You know, it's surprising that up to now they haven't rehashed the Hillary Clinton emails, you know, because they're on that for nearly 4 years. And it was just sickening. I mean, it comes up occasionally on Fox News. And, you know, people are just sick of them. And the reason why 2024 is important is because millennials go and vote, some of them for the first time, and Generation Xers. They're all fed up. The student loan debacle where Joe Biden offered a solution. Republicans shut that down. Supreme Court shut that down. In terms of gun control, they want nothing to do with gun regulation, gun control, you know, red flag laws about jobs in the economy. They don't care. They just flatly don't care. You know, the mine workers in Pennsylvania, you know, Trump promised them, you know, the moon and everything, and he failed on his promise. And yet still some people still go vote Republican. I just don't understand the thinking, the logic behind that. Mitch McConnell, not being an ageist, but since there is a minimum age to run for president, 35 years old, shouldn't there be a maximum age of when you can serve up to? Because we can see it in Mitch McConnell, we can see it in Senator Dianne Feinstein, where they're not together anymore. They're older. And God bless them for reaching their age and everything. But we need new, fresh ideas in the United States, you know, where younger people come to the fray, offer their solutions to the problems that we have. And Mitch McConnell and Dianne Feinstein is just not it. What is your thoughts on that, Lori?
Well, yes, I really think that we need to have a conversation down the road about age limits, you know, because you're right. You know, the thing is that we don't want to cut our nose off to spite our face because we do have a president right now that is 80 years old and he wants to run for a second term. So we're walking a fine line there. So that's why I say down the road. Do I think President Biden is competent? Do I think President Biden can do a job? Yes, I do. But do we all know our futures? Or we don't? No, we don't know our future. None of us do. So for us to sit here and say, well, when they're 80 years old, you know, he can't run. He can't run for president because of his age. But there are people that live to 80 years old, and they're fine, and they can still drive, and they can still think and do all the things and are active, walk and run and everything else. So as a society, I don't know if it's fair, you know, to put age limits. But maybe in the future we have to think about it. You know, maybe
we do. Right, but at this point, though. Let me make this point. Mitch McConnell is only 1 year older than Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi. So I'll just make that comment and leave it right there.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Mitch McConnell is 1 year older than Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi. So, and they're fine. Their faculties are there. So what's McConnell's excuse for him freezing up? We all know Donald Trump is crazy from the get-go. So, you know, there's no...
David, I think we have to say that you're right, Mitch McConnell. There's something wrong with him. I don't care. I mean, you just don't stand in front of a podium and look like you're spaced out. And he just froze up. It's like he had no expression. Mm-hmm. And this didn't happen just once. It happened twice. So I would say, McConnell, it's time for him to step down. And Dianne Feinstein, the same thing. She is 90 years old. It's time for her to step down. Now, President Biden, I won't put him in that category right now because I haven't honestly seen anything that would make me think otherwise. You follow what I'm saying? So how do we, you know, how do we go forward with this? I don't know.
We
good for them.
We don't. We need a balance of young and old. You need the older people there who started, a lot of them started in their 30s and 40s and 50s. And they have gained an awful lot of knowledge, and they have they're seasoned. The term is seasoned. They know which door to open and which door to close. They know when to open their mouths and when to shut their mouths. I mean, look at Biden. Biden knew who to contact the minute he was sworn in as president. He knew which country to contact first in order to start getting some stability to the country. We need the balance of the young and the old. But if we start putting age limits, we're looking, we are looking for trouble. Yes, people get sick. Each party,
I agree.
Each party has got to get their member aside, and they have to talk to them. Sometimes when a person gets sick, they're bound and determined they're going to hang in there. Now, we can't say that an illness is going to stop them from doing their job. I can't think of his name, but he's that big guy that had that stroke.
Fetterman, John Fetterman from Pennsylvania.
Fetterman. He's doing an awesome job. And there for a while, it looked pretty bad. We really don't know what happened with Mitch McConnell. That could be a high sugar, low sugar. A high sugar, low sugar will do that to you, where you actually space out. He could have had a slight seizure. So we can't just...
Maybe he needed his diapers changed.
He needed his diaper change. His doctor said he was fine. So we have to also, we have to hope and pray that the doctor is not lying. Okay? We have to take some things on faith, whether we like the person in office or not.
You know, there is something about some inexperience. There is always something to say about that. You know? I am sure that the young members go to the older members and ask for their opinions on different things and their experiences on different things. I really do believe that. So there is something to say about wisdom. And President Biden, I mean, he knows every leader. He's been to every country around the world. He's highly respected around the world. And that is something to be proud of in a man and in a president. It truly is. So do I think that President Biden has a good chance of becoming our president in 2024? Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Well, I'm wondering about these polls, these so-called polls. I mean, I think they are created polls by the Republican Party.
Because we cannot take polls seriously anymore because
they don't have any problem with President Biden running again.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
We can't
David?
Take polls seriously anymore because remember 2016 where all polls show Hillary Clinton not winning by double digits. The polls are rubbish.
Yeah.
The polls are garbage. You know, so we can't take polls seriously. You know?
She won by double digits. The Electoral College killed her.
Yeah, but you're missing the point. You're saying that polls are garbage.
About a third party. We'll never get a third party with the Electoral College. We will never be able to have a runoff with three parties. You know, maybe that is the answer to help heal this country, is to have another party in there to shake the trees up.
Shake it up. Mm-hmm.
To shake it up, to mix it up. But we can't have a third party as long as we have an Electoral College. A third party, nobody will get the electoral votes that way.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no sense of even thinking about a third party. We're stuck with a two-party system. I'm not exactly all the time 100% hooray, hooray for the Democratic Party because they make big mistakes too.
Oh,
if you have
well,
a third party, you shake the trees.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Okay, let's wrap up strong on everything. Where should we go, Lori? What's the next topic we'll talk about?
How about we do the Chicago mayor slams New York?
Okay.
New York's air
right.
over migration remarks.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about that, David?
Yes. Brandon Johnson took a drastically different approach than his counterpart in the humanitarian crisis unfolding in their cities, where the Chicago mayor, Brandon Johnson, has attacked his New York City mayor counterpart, Eric Adams, for the latter's aggressive comments that the large number of migrants arriving from the U.S.-Mexico border will destroy his city. So the two Democrats took sharply contrasting stances earlier this week on their handling of the humanitarian crisis, aggravated since the far-right Texas governor, Greg Abbott, has been unilaterally busing migrants to Democratic-led cities over the last year. Not only Greg Abbott, but also Ron DeSantis, using taxpayer money and also money donated to him in super PACs to put immigrants or migrants on planes and dropping them into liberal cities like Boston and Chicago and everywhere else. You know, so Johnson's remark came as it was also revealed that he plans to erect heated tents to help thousands of people over the harsh Midwest winter coming up that are housed temporarily in Chicago police stations while their asylum application is being processed. So according to the Chicago Sun-Times, he told them, quote, "I'm not going to accept the notion that the city of Chicago is going to be destroyed. This is not a challenge. This will not overwhelm us," he said. That's according to the Chicago Sun-Times. So Johnson elected me in April in something of a surprise win for progressives, pushed back on Thursday against Adams of New York, remarks that had sparked outrage from advocates the day before. The New York mayor won praise from Republicans as he seemed to blame the Biden administration as much as Abbott and other Republican governors who have sent asylum seekers north. And so when he was asked, the mayor of New York said, quote, "Never in my life have I had a problem that I did not see an ending to. I don't see an ending to this. This issue will destroy New York City, the city we knew we are about to lose," end quote. So Adams added that 110,000 migrants had arrived in New York City since April 2022, creating a $12 billion budget deficit. And he also said, Mayor Williams, every service in the city is going to be impacted. Yes, so, you know, there's two different, approaches. The mayor of Chicago is not giving up hope and not buckling to right-wing pressure. And this is what progressives do, you know. We'll fight on, we'll fight for people, marginalized people, like women, immigrants, children. But it seems like the New York mayor, Eric Williams, is kowtowing and bowing down to right-wing pressure in New York City. $12 billion deficit because of what the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, and the Florida governor, Ron DeSantis, did in shipping and by plane, sending people to New York and everything. And instead of putting the blame on them and trying to, like, fight it in terms of fighting for the migrants who need help, like what the Chicago mayor is, you know, boldly and well executing, helping these immigrants, you know, Eric Williams is just, you know, being a bitch, basically. Let's call a spade a spade.
Yeah,
he's being a little bitch.
Yep.
You
know? Yes, he is. He was complaining, you know, saying that these, you know, migrants, and they're not migrants, they're immigrants, are going to destroy the city of New York, you know, because all laying on the, well, they were getting a hotel ready, and it wasn't ready yet. They were getting a hotel prepared to house these migrants so they could spend, you know, sleep there, but it wasn't ready yet. So most of them were, yes, laying on the cement. Do you think that these people, these immigrants, like laying on the cement and sleeping outside on the cement in New York City? I don't think so.
Where it's hot.
I don't think so.
I mean, Mayor Williams should you know, man up, you know, and stop blaming Joe Biden. You know, it's not Joe Biden's fault. Blame what happened on Abbott and Ron DeSantis for using taxpayer money and super PAC money, secret money, to like bus people there, fly people there. You know, just call a spade. Joe Biden had nothing to do with it. And Joe Biden is doing his best on other fronts, not just immigration, but other things. You know, so, you know, this is why Democrats can't win an election. They don't stick together, you know, no matter what. Even if Republicans are wrong, they stick together. You know, cohesive message, even though the message is garbage and total bullshit, you know, but, you know, at least they stick together. So Democrats should stick together and call a spade, and call out Republicans for who they are. Unpatriotic, selfish, money-motivated, corporate-driven, controlled by the 1%. You know, America don't deserve that. We deserve much better than that. And come 2024, it's going to happen where Republicans across the board, whether federal, statewide, local, they're going to be a clean blue wave sweep. You know, things may look bad now as a polls show, but again, like I said to Elaine and everybody, polls don't mean jack shit. A week is a lifetime in politics, and when push comes to shove, people guys stand back, fold arms and say, okay, for the past 6, 7, 8 years, what has Republican policy? How has it helped America? How has it helped me personally? And I would just look through the facade and the smoke screens and say Republicans don't care about anybody but themselves and their corporate friends and the corporate media and what have you. So good sense will prevail, and I'm predicting now, like I'm going to predict on election day 2024, that Democrats will win a landslide we have never seen before, not since 1980 and not since 1964, when LBJ whooped Barry Goldwater, and when Reagan beat Mondale. Those electoral victories are the biggest in U.S. history. I think it's going to even be bigger for Joe Biden and Democrats come 2024.
I think so too, David. I'm very optimistic. You know, I am very optimistic. And there's one last thing that I want to say, that Mayor Eric Adams was asked you know, does the city have the capacity and the resources? What do they want to do, which is to help those young people? And he said, Eric Adams said, oh, we need more. We haven't been extremely clear on this. New York City has been carrying its burden for the most part on its own. But we commend the governor and the $1 billion she got in the last budget that we have to spend down on. So in other words, they did get $1 billion for this.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they have that money to spend. And he said, but it's not only in dollars and cents. It's in man and women power. It's an awesome responsibility. Yes, it is an awesome responsibility. And yes, you do need man power. Absolutely. But $1 billion will get you somewhere. And I think that
yes,
they can manage.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, he's no Brandon Johnson. You know, he's given a basket to carry water. He's trying really hard as new Chicago mayor, progressive, to do, you know, what is right by migrants, helping them out. And he's trying to get the gun violence down in Chicago, one of the most violent cities in America, like any other inner city. So, you know, it takes time. It takes patience. Don't give up on the mayor yet. But the mayor of New York City, do better. Stop kowtowing Joe Biden and beating up on your fellow Democrats. You know, cut the shit out. It's rubbish. And that has to be the last word. We thank everybody for listening, sharing across social media. We thank Elaine for calling in.
Thank you.
We thank Margarita. We thank Sheila in Chicago, Illinois. We thank Wolf in Alabama, and thank you for listening on this great episode tonight. It's been Sunday, September 10th, 2023, Season 5, Episode 31. The topic was Play Stupid Games, Win Stupid Prizes. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, on Block Talk Radio for another edition of Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. We thank you for joining us. Until tomorrow night, we see you then. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan. Everyone have a good evening, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye now.
Came across a lot of people willing to turn that state blue hot. Donald jumped up on his Twitter feed and said, Georgia, let me tell you what. I thought you knew I stayed alive, but I'm the best man for this job. And if you vote me out of office, I will call it fraud. Now, Sleepy Joe ain't good for you. Give Donald what he's due. I'll give you $1 million for your vote. And Georgia, I'll be there for you. Georgia said, hell no, buddy, and it might be a surprise, but I'll take my vote and give it to Joe. The South will revolutionize.
Georgia, sharpen up your pen and use your vote right now. Cause Donald is in Georgia and it's winning. If your vote is heard, it will turn a shade of blue. But if you don't, they will come to you. Come on, Georgia.
Well, Donnie got on TV and shouted, hey, this is fraud. But somehow everyone else knew it was time to get gone. Georgia said the race was called in VPA slip 2. Cause we told you once, you son of a bitch, the state is turning blue. Ha! But White House run by Joe. Fight on the let's go, Joe. Here we go.
No. trip. Just watching as the world goes. So many groupies to see our friends in the grave. The sun beaming down between the leaves. Thinking about me again. And the moon out of the tree.
Everything here is so clear, you can see. Everything here is so near, you can see. And it's real,
thank you.